In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord also promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has also written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, unclean spirit, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Receive this mark upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Lainey according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sins in her which have been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed since would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. The congregation will join as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass
Lainey, do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Do Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Lainey, do you desire to be baptized? Lainey, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We will continue with the introit found on your bulletin insert. For zeal for your house has consumed me. O God, why do you cast us off forever? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. For zeal for your house has consumed me. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversaries that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants, for in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from Philippians chapter 3. "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. With minds set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the gradual. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here endeth the gospel. We confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life of the dead, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Of all the gospel lessons for this Lenten season, today's lesson might seem to be the most important for us to hear and learn in this age of pestilence, war, and death. Not that this age is distinct from any other age, for every age since the fall has been an age of pestilence, war, and death. And so it is that our Lord's teaching here is perpetually relevant. Here our Lord Jesus teaches us to live and to die without fear, to go about the business that God has given us without fear or anxiety. For in life and in death, we are the Lord's. We have been bought at a price. The price is the very blood of God. Jesus went about his life and his death fearlessly. Indeed, nothing would dissuade him from the orthodoxy, the rightness of his teaching. Nothing would dissuade him from living a holy and upright life. Likewise, nothing would deter him from his journey to the cross, from the shedding of his blood for us, for you, and for me. He was not deterred when his own disciples and friends stood in his way, nor was he deterred when the Pharisees attempted to keep him from entering Jerusalem, as our gospel text reads today. "Get away from here," the Pharisees snarl at him, "for King Herod wants to kill you." Now, this is almost certainly a lie. Since when Herod had been given the chance to kill Jesus, he showed no interest in killing him. He just wanted to see him perform a miracle or two. Furthermore, the Pharisees could have cared less if Herod killed our Lord. They wanted him to die. In fact, they would have been happy if Herod had succeeded. So in all likelihood, what these Pharisees were trying to do was scare Jesus away from their turf, away from Jerusalem, where he and his teaching might do serious harm to their influence and control. But far from being frightened or intimidated, Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course.'" It's as if Jesus was saying, "You think I'm afraid of Herod? I cast out demons. You think I'm afraid of death? I daily overcome death and cure whomever I want." And a more accurate translation has Jesus saying, not, "And the third day I finish my course," but rather, "The third day I am brought to my goal." In other words, not Herod, but God will bring me to my goal. And the end of my goal and course is not death, but it is resurrection. So Jesus will not be intimidated. And since we are his, neither should we. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Fear and intimidation are the devil's tactics. He uses all manners of threats, hoping that we, Christians, will fear something, anything, rather than God. He knows that the fear of God is the death of all other fears. Should we fear the world, the devil, or other men when our lives are in the hands of God? Of course not. As the Small Catechism teaches us, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. What things make you fear to be a Christian? What things make you fear to be more boldly Christian in all that you say and all that you do? Perhaps it is the fear of being ridiculed. Ridicule might come from those outside of the church or from those inside of it. Perhaps it is the fear of being labeled a religious fanatic or a Bible thumper or, in our conservative Lutheran circles, a pietist. What things make you fear to be more boldly Christian in all that you say and do? Perhaps you fear losing your job or losing opportunities for your children. Perhaps you fear the Rainbow Pride Mafia will sue you or that you'll be charged with a hate crime. Beloved, in these days, we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. But we cannot and must not be dissuaded from being fully Christian. We must not be dissuaded by those inside of the church or outside of the church. We must not be deterred by threats or by fear. We cannot and must not do anything that is less than fully biblical, fully confessional, fully evangelical, or fully Lutheran. For each one of these terms, when properly understood, is exactly who we are. And we do not gain our sense of value from the approval of the world who hates our God. Nor do we gain our sense of value from the approval of people who hate our God. Why would we care about what they think? Likewise, we don't gain sense of worth from those who, through fear, attempt to turn us into something that we are not. We are Christians, and our worth and our value comes from Christ, who bought us with his own precious blood. Jesus was not at all afraid of Herod or the threats of the Pharisees. He was not afraid of those outside of the church or inside of the church. He was not afraid of the very worst that men could do to him. He had come for this very purpose. The purpose of giving his life as a ransom for many. So he said, "Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow, and the following day, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." In other words, casting out demons and curing the sick, Jesus will journey to Jerusalem, to his own death for us, and to his resurrection. He will not be bullied by the threat of death, but will nevertheless go toward it precisely to destroy its power over us. Ironically, Jerusalem means city of peace. So in the first part of Jesus' lament over Jerusalem, you can hear his anger. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." But then you can hear, in a surprising way, his mercy. "How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." He says this, even of those who are murderers of the prophets, even of those who killed those to whom God has sent them. God's own messengers. He speaks to the worst of the worst, the vilest of the vile. He says, "How often would I have gathered you? How often would I have made you my own dear children? How often would I have sheltered you from every danger and hidden you under my wings?" And with these words, he speaks to sinners. He speaks to us. As long as we do not reject him. For what comes next is his rejection and the acknowledgement that he has been rejected by the people of Jerusalem. He says, "And you would not." With those words, you can hear the heartbreak and emotion in our Lord Jesus. "How often, how many times, how many chances, how many opportunities I gave you to receive me and my mercy, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken." Jesus says, It's a play on word, the word for forgiveness. Instead of being released from your sins, you are released from God. Your house is released and thus forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." No more will Jerusalem see Jesus until the last day on Palm Sunday. And indeed, no more will some of them see him until the day of judgment. What shall we say then? The same Lord who showed mercy to Nineveh destroyed Sodom. The same Lord who showed mercy to Jerusalem over and over again finally gave her over to judgment, and her temple lies in ruins to this very day. The Lord is patient and kind, but there is a limit to his patience and the point at which he says to them who have rejected him, "Fine, have it your way." So here's the question. Whose approval would you rather have? The approval of Jerusalem or the approval of Jesus? There were many who bet on Jerusalem. Whose approval would you rather have? The approval of America or the approval of Jesus? There will be many who bet on America. Will you fear those who can destroy your reputation and your finances or your body? Or will you fear the one who holds your reputation and life in his hand eternally, who graciously gives you all things, who rescues you from death and will raise your body on the last day? Everyone fears something. Who will you fear? In Psalm 103, verse 4, the psalmist says to God, "With you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." When we realize that God is willing to set us free from all sins, that God is willing to set us free from death itself, then we simultaneously realize that he is greater than all of our sins, and that he is greater than death, and all who would will death against us. He is the one to be feared, and him alone. For with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. It is precisely in the forgiveness of God that we learn to fear God. And in the fear of God, we lose all other fears. So also, we do not gain our sense of worth from others. We do not need to gain a sense of worth from the approval of the world, or from success in the workplace, or even from the love of a family. We do not need to concern ourselves with having a sense of self-worth or self-esteem, because your worth comes from something far greater than yourself. Your worth comes from something far greater than your own judgments, including your own self-condemnations or your narcissistic delusions you might harbor. Your worth is proved in what was paid in order to acquire you. Your worth is proved in what was laid down for you as a ransom. And that price, that ransom, was nothing less than the blood of God poured out for you on Calvary's cross. That is your worth. Lainey, where are you, Lainey? Lainey. Today you have been baptized. God has proclaimed and promised to you through these waters that you were bought with the very blood of God. Before you were even born, God loved you. He became as you in order to give his life for your life. He became as you in order to take your sins and his and to give you his own righteousness. He became as you so that by whip and scourge and by nail and spear he might pay the price necessary to purchase you as his own. Your sins have been forgiven and atoned for. and the death that awaits you, which awaits all people, has been transformed into a gateway that leads to life. All this he did before you were even born. Now that you have been born in baptism, he announces and proclaims these things to you so that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Beloved, we all have life in his name. So we need not have any fear, not in life and not in death. For the Lord our God is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? Christ Jesus became as you, so that you would no longer have to be afraid. Christ Jesus became as you, so that you would join him in fearing and loving and trusting in God. Therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have been purchased by the blood of Christ. You are Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering. Almighty and everlasting God, who art worthy to be had in reverence by all the children of men, We give thee most humble and hearty thanks for the immeasurable blessings, both temporal and spiritual, which without any merit or worthiness on our part thou hast bestowed upon us. We praise thee especially that thou hast preserved unto us in their purity thy saving word and the sacred ordinances of thy house. And we beseech thee, O Lord, to preserve and extend thy kingdom of grace, and to grant unto thy holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and faithful pastors who shall preach thy word with power, and help all who hear rightly to understand and truly believe it. Send forth laborers into thy harvest, and open the door of faith unto all the heathen and to the people of Israel. In mercy, remember the enemies of thy church, and grant unto them repentance unto life. Be thou the protector and defender of thy people in all time of tribulation and danger, and may we, in communion with thy church and in brotherly unity with all our fellow Christians, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end, receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow thy grace upon all the nations of the earth, especially do we entreat thee to bless our land and all its inhabitants and all who are in authority. Cause thy glory to dwell among us, and let mercy and truth, righteousness and peace everywhere prevail. To this end, we commend thy care all our schools and pray thee to make them nurseries of useful knowledge and Christian virtues, that they may bring forth the wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamities by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine. Protect and prosper everyone in his appropriate calling, and cause all useful arts to flourish among us. Be thou the God and Father of the widow and fatherless children, the helper of the sick and needy, and comforter of the forsaken and distressed. We especially pray for Ed, Harold, Esther, Jim, Aubrey, Sean, Austin, Reverend David, Barbara, Charlotte, Mia, Wanda, Kenny, Patricia, Adam, and Dennis. Except we beseech thee, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before thee, which is our reasonable service. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work thou hast given us to do while it is day, before the night cometh when no man can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by thy power and receive us into thine everlasting kingdom. We give thanks to you that in holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal day, bless Lainey continually by your word and spirit, that she may faithfully keep the covenant into which she has been called, boldly confess her Savior, and finally share with all your saints the joys of eternal life. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Well, thank you for joining us this morning, especially on this particularly joyous morning as we have baptized Lainey and she has entered into the kingdom of God. Before I talk about that more, in order to maintain my composure, I'm going to ask, is there any other announcements that need to be brought up? Okay, I want to thank everyone who did all the hard work on getting the parsonage ready for me, Natanya, and my family. It looks wonderful, and it's really our privilege to move into it yesterday. We're excited to finally be living here with you guys and ready to really integrate into the community and get to know you all better. And also, of course, thank you for everyone who was there yesterday to help with the move-in. Unfortunately, we got the first cold day in a couple weeks, and we had some snow flurries and blizzards. I think I got a little frostbite maybe on my fingertips because they're burning this morning. So I should have been wise and wore gloves like Chad and some of the others did. But I was a fool and did not. But we're all moved in, and we'll be unpacking over the course of the next couple weeks. And very excited about that. And of course, most importantly, just want to congratulate you guys for, of course, the gift that you have received in Lainey and the special gift that she has now received in holy baptism. I apologize that I lost my composure a little bit during the sermon, but just the thought of such a beautiful young girl being brought into the kingdom of God was just more than I could bear, right? With eyes of faith, what we see here, right, is just me wearing a silly outfit, right, pouring some water over Lainey's head. But with eyes of faith, we see the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descending and the voice of God declaring, "This is my beloved child." So, depart in peace.